order for the vision to be fulfilled, do you understand that this has to truly become a corporate body? No one person can do it, including myself. Amen. And just some of the things that God, and that's why the enemy wants to take down the body piece by piece. And that's one of the reasons your leadership gets attacked. Because if the enemy can get to the leadership, it will ultimately affect the entire body. I mean, the truth's the truth. You know, I've probably used this illustration before, but how many remembers years ago, if you're an avid University of Kentucky basketball fan, how many remembers when Travis Ford played? Remember Travis Ford? Tremendous little point guard from, I think, Madisonville. He was a Kentucky kid. And played basketball for Rick Pitino at UK. And I remember the big rivalry between Arkansas and Kentucky during those years in the SEC. Nolan Richardson. I'll never forget Judy when being interviewed and they asked Nolan Richardson how they would take out what's the key to beating Kentucky? And he said, Travis Ford. He said, he's the head. You take out the head, you destroy the body. Amen. So, and ultimately, when we lost in the tournament, they shut him down in the tournament. The Fab Five, Jalen Rose, about six, whatever. And Travis had a hard time doing anything that night. And if you guys remember, we lost to Michigan. Well, that's going back there, ain't it? But it's a good illustration. And see, what I'm saying is, that's why the enemy wants to attack guys like this guy. Come on now. And other leaders, and that lady sitting there. Oh, this is good teaching right here. So it's important for us to come together as a body. All right. And that's why it's so important to be in unity. Amen. All right. I want to read you something. And what we're going to talk about is getting away from, selfish ambitions, selfish motives, selfish desires, and being part of a body ministry and being part of a corporate body that God wants to pour out his spirit like never before and to see us advance the kingdom for the cause of Christ. Amen. Is anybody with me? I want to read you an excerpt from a book. Anybody ever read Dutch Sheets? Dutch is a great author, and we got to go hear Dutch Sheets speak a year or so ago in Louisville, Kentucky. But If you've read any of his writings, he likes to put in little stories, you know, to illustrate things, and it's very interesting. I want to read you this here. It's very short, but it's going to set the tone for what the Lord wants to speak to us now. When I prepared my notes and I thought of this passage just in the book here, and I thought, man, that's perfect. The Los Angeles Lakers began their 1980-81 season considered likely to win back-to-back championships. But within weeks of the season opener, they had won a championship the year prior, but within weeks of the season opener, Magic Johnson tore the cartilage in his knee and needed a 3-month recuperation period. The team and fans rallied, listen, and they were determined to make it through. They were winning 70% of their games without it. As Magic's return grew closer, the publicity surrounding him increased. All the media attention was focused on the one player who hadn't been doing a thing. Finally, February 27th came, and as they clicked through the turnstiles every one of the 17,500 ticket holders was handed a button that said, "The magic is back." Normally, only the starters were introduced, and Magic was going to be on the bench when the game began. But he was nevertheless included in the introductions. At the mention of his name, the arena rocked with a standing ovation. The other players were so resentful that they barely won the game that night. The morale of the entire team collapsed. The players turned on each other. The coach was fired, and they eventually lost their opening series of the playoffs, having one of the most disastrous records ever. Because of greed, now listen, let this speak to you. Because of greed, pettiness, and resentment, Coach Pat Riley later said, "We executed one of the fastest falls from grace in NBA history." Here's the line I want you to hear. He said, "It was the disease of me." Now, I think, I told you, you know, God wants to speak some challenging stuff to us. But I think that the disease of me is the greatest enemy to the church, and it's the greatest weapon in Satan's arsenal. Amen? Now, the disease of me started with the fall in the garden. Satan said, "I will arise to the throne. I will ascend to the throne. I will set myself on high. I will set myself above God." The disease of me. Amen? Let's read our text. God help us. God help us not to get caught up in the disease of me. Now, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23, familiar passage. He said unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny." Everybody say deny. "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Amen. "For whosoever seeks to save his life," amen, what's it say? "He's going to lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." Now, I really want to challenge you tonight. Oftentimes when we hear a message, or if we hear something that's being spoken from the pulpit that's challenging as to where we live, oftentimes we tend to think of somebody else that needs to hear it. Let me just go on record and saying that in itself is a spirit of religion. If you are sitting in the pew and you're thinking, "He's speaking to you," or "He's speaking to you," or "I know somebody else that needs to hear this," don't focus on your neighbor. Do personal inventory. Amen? All of us. Can we all do that? And can we see, are there areas that we have been caught up in the disease of me ourselves? What I want. You know what? Here's what I want to see in church. Here's what I want to get out of church. Here's what I want. This is a song I want them to sing. I wish Pastor would do this. I wish, when it comes to building a building, this is what I want. This, you know, whatever. And not so much focus on Amen. What you want, but what does God want, and what's best for the corporate body? Ooh, help us, Jesus. Anybody with me? So, here's a good statement for you to write down. And what I want you to take from this tonight, and I've got some very powerful things to speak, but what I want you to take from this is we have to go from me, everybody say, from me to us. Well, let's say that again. From me to us. Here's the deal. The disease of me equals the defeat of us. Man, this word is just pricking my heart. The disease of me equals the defeat of us. So many churches have been, now some people be sitting, you know, and the Wednesday night cracking hell, you know, and Justin just got up here and said, you know, when you have visitors in the house, it's important to use wisdom. Now this is not a word you get up when there's visitors all in the house because they're like, goodness, what's going on? I thought that, you know, what's going on in that church? I've heard good stuff, but what's going on? No, that's what I'm talking about. Listen, we have to check ourselves daily. This scripture says to die daily, and we can't let anything creep in, guys. You know, and we got to check ourselves and say, okay, is this where we need work at? You know, we can never get comfortable. We can't get complacent, because if we get comfortable, I promise you, if we get comfortable and if we get complacent, we are going to go backwards, and we will not advance, but we're not even going to hold our ground. So we gotta be challenged. Let me go. You know, one of the most difficult things for individuals to do just picture a team. One of the most difficult things for individuals to do when becoming part of a team is to sacrifice. It's much easier to be selfish. Amen? How many's noticed in recent years? Now the University of Kentucky, and I'm throwing a lot of sports in there tonight because that wasn't necessarily planned, but it's just coming out that way. But you know, the University of Kentucky basketball team, it appears that they've really got a chance of winning another championship this year. But now, how many will agree with me that in the last 4 or 5 years, since John Calipari's been at the University of Kentucky, he's had some of the most unbelievable talent ever assembled. But how many knows that some of those teams, he has not been able to get them to play together? Now, the awesome thing, well, I love this, the awesome thing about the team that won the championship, that was the beauty of it. Every night somebody else was the guy that was putting up the points. And the MVP of the tournament, the college basketball MVP, only scored 9 points in the championship game. But yet he was the MVP. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Anthony Davis. Is that right, was his name? Anthony Davis. And then they put this team together the year after that, and you know what? John Calipari even got them out there and let them play dodgeball in practice. You guys saw that. He tried everything, but he couldn't come up with any tactic to get them to come together as a team, and they flopped. It was embarrassing. It was to even watch at times. I'm like, these are McDonald's All-Americans, but they all wanted to be the man. What was that one guard's name? He drove me nuts. He's the one that every time he'd get the ball, he'd just drive straight to the basket and run over people and throw it off the backboard. I can't remember his name, but he played on that team. Come on, James, you should know. Huh? No, John Wall was okay. No, it wasn't him either. If Jacob was here, he'd remember. But they tried everything in the world to get this guy to play under control. He could never play under control because, huh? What? Is that his name? And he could never play under control. He just, give me the ball. Let me put my numbers up. Let's win a championship. I don't care. Let me put my numbers up. Let's take the kingdom of God as a corporate body. I don't care. Just let me be seen. Let me have my way. Are you with me? Genesis 6 and 5. I feel like the Lord is speaking to us. Jesus. Genesis 6 and 5, what's it say? God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. You see that? All about me. It's pride. Everybody say pride. I wrote this down. The vice of pride is the ground in which all other sins grow. The vice of pride, in other words, if you're caught in the vice of pride, that's the ground in which all other sin grows. Because pride was the ultimate sin. Or should I put it this way? Pride was the original sin. Original sin was pride. So pride is the breeding ground for all other sin to grow. Amen? Can you say amen? And the problem oftentimes is we live in a world where and tell me if this is not the truth. We live in a world where people aren't satisfied with just having stuff. They got to make sure they have more than the next person. Okay, you buy this kind of car. I'm not going to get a car like you got. I got to get one different. I got to get one better. You know what I'm saying? I got to get, you know, oh, God forbid two girls would show up at the prom in the same dress, man. Nah, this can't happen. And I know that's probably, there's an embarrassment factor that comes into play also, Jeff. But, you know, and I'm not wearing the dress that someone else wore last year. Come on, Dad, fork out the $500 for a new one, even though somebody in the church has one for 10. Come on now. I hope I'm not stepping on somebody's toes, but come on, where are we? It's not enough just to have something, but we got to have more than the next person. That's the way America works. Amen? All right. Are we getting something out of the word? Let me share just a couple more thoughts with you. I want you to get this. In John 15, Jesus said, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, some of the things he downloaded in my spirit this week, very early in the morning. But in John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father, he said, my Father, I want you to get this. This is fresh word. It's fresh revelation. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He said, you are the branches. So now, the branches are connected to the vine, right? Are you with me? He said, you are the branches. In order for the branches to bear fruit, to bring forth fruit, they have to be connected to the vine. And it becomes one unit. If you are disconnected from the vine, you will not bear any fruit. How many's ever, let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever seen a tree cut down? And when you cut down the tree, you can't. It's hard, Jeff, to kill the root system. It's hard to kill the trunk of that tree. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, my brother-in-law had a big poplar tree cut between our houses there, and it was a huge poplar tree, and he had that thing cut down. And to this day, it's been 3 or 4 years. Every spring, there's little sprouts that come off of that thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And if you don't cut them back, it'll grow a tree. You know, that's why Jesus said sometimes there's some branches that have to be pruned. Amen? Sometimes that pruning, oh, watch out for the pruning. We could be looking at some pruning. You know, God cut off those branches that aren't bringing forth fruit. Come on now. Are you with me? But you have to see, in order for you to bring forth fruit, you got to be connected to the vine. And you know, we're talking about pruning, Judy. We used to grow apple trees in our backyard, and I remember as a young boy, Pap saying, "We're going to have to trim those apple trees, or they're not going to bear apples this year. There's got to be some things come out of there. It's too thick. There's going to be some things come out of there in order for those apples to come on the tree." Amen. Are you with me? So you see the importance here of taking stuff out. Now here's where what he spoke to me. We have to be connected to the vine. Now, how many knows Jesus did his job? He's the vine. I mean, he's always going to be Christ. He's going to be solid. But how many knows that we are the ones that are supposed to bring forth the fruit? He's not here walking around anymore, guys. Amen. So here's the scripture he gave me next. The little foxes spoil the vine. Amen. The little foxes, and it's those little foxes that come in at the bottom of the vine and eat before. Listen to me. They eat the grapes, the fruit, before they mature. And if we don't grow up and be spiritually mature, those little foxes, what are they, Pastor? They're greed and jealousy. Yeah. Now, listen, I've been in church a long time, and I have yet to see Satan open the door and walk in the door and say, "I'm Lucifer, I'm here to destroy your body." He never does that. But it's somebody that walks in the door and sits down next to you and shakes your hand. I remember when our church was growing at Liberty, we took the church and had 20 people, and it was just boom, boom, boom. And before you know it, they had to push the wall back. And, you know, we was running 125, 150 on Sunday evening. And we'd taken in new members and people taking the right hand of fellowship. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm bearing my heart. Every time we take the right hand of fellowship, I hope no one's offended by this, but every time we do that, I think, oh God, is one of these people going to be the one of the ones that's going to just bring in something to... Is anybody with me? Those little foxes. Those little things. They just, you know, and before you know it, the little foxes just destroy the vine. They spoil it to where it don't bring forth any fruit. Amen? How many knows rust? Rust starts on the inside and you don't see it. You don't see it. But before you know it, it's on the outside and it's rusted down your vehicle. But you don't see it at first. It's the same deal. It's things of the heart. It's things that get in people's hearts. And it's ideas and it's lies that the enemy throws at people. And these things get down in their hearts. And before you know it, you know, that rust of the heart has started on the inside. Before you know it, it starts to manifest itself on the outside and you start to see it surface. Jesus. He don't make a grand entrance. Amen? Things slip in. Small things. Amen? Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Now, here's the deal. And I'm just about done here, but I want to get this word in. As individuals, that's what we have to fight. That's what we have to battle. It's just little small things. Amen? All right. I hope no one's offended by this, but I'm just gonna give you a news flash, and this is what the Lord spoke to me. As an individual, you are not fighting principalities and powers. No. Principalities, what you're fighting is those little foxes. Principalities and powers, they cover regions. They are over, And God showed me this in the spirit. I mean, I know this, Judy. That there's principalities that are over the porn industry. God showed me that. That's why it's just crazy out of hand. Come on, I'm just telling you the truth. There's principalities that are over the drug culture. There's principalities that are over poverty. You know, and oftentimes there can be, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and I trust you guys here on Wednesday night. There's principalities that can come, that do come over a region or come over a church. And I want to tell you something. The enemy wants to set up a principality here because he knows what our Father's house can do to affect this community. But no one in this room is going to take down a principality by yourself. God revealed that to me. Not even me as a pastor alone. Here, I want you to get this. It's so simple and it's so elementary. And I thought, wow, that's so simple and so elementary. It's one of those things that's just, it's profoundly simple, but it's simply profound. What did Paul say? He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What did he say? You got it, Jeff. He said, we. He didn't say you. He didn't say you wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So the positive thing that you can take, you got to get this. What did he say? For the weapons of our warfare, not your warfare. You know, there's personal battles, and here's the thing. Don't try to take on the corporate battle until you get the personal battle won. You know, a very good illustration of this is, you know, don't bring your gift to the altar until you take care of the... Amen? So he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So that's a we thing. That's a corporate thing. That's a body thing. And I'm going to tell you, and the positive thing of this is that if we will take care of our little things and our little issues and come together, solid as a corporate body, we can take down principalities. That's the positive. It's not just saying, oh gosh, if we're a body, we're going to have to fight. No, you got to look at that from a positive, viewpoint that we can take down principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness. Amen. Everybody say we. Are you with me? So, you know, hope no one's offended by that, but you're just not going to do it by yourself. No one's an island. No one's a lone ranger. Amen? That's why the body, that's why the church is important. All right, where are we at? Let's bring this thing to a close. So these little foxes, self-pity, you know, Joe Farmer talked about that Sunday morning. Self-righteousness. Defensiveness. You know, we don't think about these things. What's defensiveness, Pastor? Somebody that resists criticism. Don't tell me how I'm doing it wrong. How many of those constructive criticism will help you? That's a little fox. Gossip. A little fox. What's it say? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands, a pure heart, and who does not what? Well, sometimes we'll leave out the third one. He who does not backbite with his tongue. I tell you what, sometimes it's a good thing we kept our shirts on because we took our shirts off our backs, we chewed all to pieces, wouldn't we? Some of y'all need your teeth pulled. You'd still be trying to gum people. Stop backbiting. Amen? Stop gossiping. And I'll tell you the biggest lie that's ever told in the church. I'm just about done. The biggest lie ever told in the church. Now, I'm just telling you this so you can pray for them. Amen. No, you're not. You just want to talk about them. Come on, Judy. You know, that's just a way to talk about somebody. You know, the thing is, if that's so real, why aren't you praying for them? All right. I'll be good. I'm not going to meddle. Seeking man's, this is a good one. Another little fox. Seeking man's applause. No one should get the glory but God. And I'll just, let me just go on record and saying, if our Father's house is seeking glory for our Father's house, seeking man's applause, we will never get where God wants us to be. It's all about the glory of God.